Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Father, thank you today that we have the opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship, and Lord, that we can love you and worship you and praise you and thank you today. Thank you, dear Lord, today that you have worked on all of our lives, that you've been good to us in all of our days. And we ask you this morning, Lord, as we look into this, thy word, that you might speak to each of our hearts, you might do that for us which only you can do. And for all that's said and all that's done, we want to lift up your Son, Jesus, and praise him this morning. For it's in his wonderful, holy name that we pray. Amen and amen. I guess one of my favorite television shows of yesteryear was Mission Impossible. I think they made several movies out of it here recently, but I always liked the old TV series. It seemed so far-fetched in the days when we were watching that nothing would ever be able to come about that was shown on that show. But as you look around the world today, many of the gadgets and the technology that they came out with and during those days are everyday occurrences for us today. But it would always begin with, if you decide to accept it, this is your mission. And it gave Peter Graves an impossible mission to accomplish. Well, I want to say to you this morning, the God that we serve, the Lord that we adore, Jesus says here in our text this morning that he is a God of impossibilities. With God, all things are possible. Now you repeat that to yourself sometime and think about what Jesus is saying. With God, all things are possible. Right. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a group of young children about the miracles of Jesus. And as you read through the Bible, and I recently read through the Gospel of John again, and there's numerous miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. And she was teaching on the miracles of Jesus. Of course, she taught them about how that he brought healing to many people, how that he fed many people with only a handful of food. She talked about him walking on the water, giving sight back to the blind, giving hearing back to the deaf. And many of the miracles of Jesus. And as she got concluded talking about the miracles of Jesus, she asked the children, she said, now what have we learned from all of this? What have we learned from studying about the miracles of Jesus? And the class said very simply, God can do anything. Out of the mouth of babes, sometimes it comes out best, doesn't it? God can do anything. It used to be a song that was sang by children, oftentimes in Sunday school, that said, my God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God can't do. The mountains are his, the rivers too. My God is so great and so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God can't do. You read through the scriptures today and you have to concur that God can do anything. And that impossible situations today are his specialty. We had a world that was lost in sin, a world that had been deceived today by the demonic forces of evil. Men who were lost and looking for a way, But they could not find the way. And yet we find that God this morning sent his son through the womb of a virgin. And when the angel came to announce to Mary that she was going to bear the Son of God, that she was going to be the mother of God's Son, and she said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel simply replied that it is possible with God, all things are possible. You see, this morning the Lord came to us today. It was impossible for us to go to God. There's no way that we could have ever reached into the heavens far enough. No spaceship powerful enough to penetrate the heavens of God and allow us to go there. But God this morning, through his wondrous love and mercy today, came to us through the womb of a virgin this morning. And he came to us this morning when it was impossible for us to go to him. God is here. The presence of the Lord is still with us even to this hour. And he wants to work in all of our lives this morning. He wants to do things for you and I today to show that he is the God of impossibilities. And when we read these verses today, and when we read many other verses in the scripture, I want you to understand something. It does not mean that you are going to get everything that you want. It does not mean that everything you want is going to be granted by God. Sometimes folks say, "Well, how in the world can that be? I prayed for people to be saved and they were never saved. I prayed for people to be healed and they were never healed. I did many things and down through the course of my life, and these things never came to pass. Why?" May I say to you this morning, I have no idea. I prayed, and you've prayed, but we've never got and are never going to get everything that we want. I have no idea why God sometimes says no. There are times that it's definite. There are some times that we can find the answer. But there are many times I have no answer to people. I prayed, Pastor, I prayed, and still it did not happen. Why? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea why many things happen in life. And so when I tell you that he is the God of impossibilities and that he can do anything, understand this, it does not mean that you will always get everything that you want. And it does not mean this morning that you'll get every way, everything that you want in the way that you had planned. You see, we sometimes want to plan things out for the Lord. We want to play God ourselves. We want to be the Lord of our life, and we want to tell God how to operate in our lives. But some things are not going to work out the way that you planned it to work out. I heard David Wilkerson several years ago preaching, and he was talking about something like this, and he told in the midst of his sermon how that when he was a young pastor, he made a foolish decision, and he went $5,000 in debt, and the note was coming due, and he had no way to pay it, and he was going to be faced with severe financial crisis. And so he began to pray. He said one day God spoke to him as he was praying and said, "I want you to go down, and I forget what street it was, and you walk on the right-hand side, and you'll meet a man, and he'll hand you an envelope containing $5,000, and I'll take care of your problem. He said, I went and I waited 2 hours, and no one ever showed up. And I thought, God, you lied to me. But he said, the next Sunday, a man came to him and said, I've got a friend that's a banker in another city. He told me, I told him about your problem, and he said, have him to call me. And so he called the banker, and the banker said, I'll tell you what I can do for you, young man. He said, I'll loan you the $5,000 at no interest, and you can pay me back $50 per month. He said, well, that's what I want to do. And he said, I began to pray, Lord, what, why? And he said, the Lord finally spoke to him, and he said, I could have sent an angel to give you the $5,000. But he said, you'd have went right back out and made the same dumb mistake again. This time, I provided a way, but you think before you do next time, and you pray to me before you get into these kinds of situations. Sometimes the Lord's not going to give it just like we planned, because we can't tell God, hey, we just want an angel to come do this for us. We just want this, and we want it right now. We don't want it next week. We don't want it after a while. And we want it done exactly like this. But that's not the way the Lord works sometimes. He's just simply the God of impossibilities that will work in all of our lives this morning. What it means is that there is a God that is there for us this morning to do for us what no one else can do. But you know, before the Lord can work in any of our lives and do anything for any of us today, we have to really believe that He is the God of impossibilities this morning. Sometimes I wonder, do I? When I look in the mirror and I have to say, do you? I look out over us today and I have to say, does us is? Do we really believe this morning that He is the God of impossibilities? Do we really believe that God can do anything? A friend of mine was at a conference, and I was talking to him, and he said when he was at this particular conference up in North Carolina that he run into a pastor who had begun a ministry there among the misfits, the people who were kind of the outcast of society of our day, who had criminal backgrounds many times and other shady reputations and situations, and he had begun a ministry and a work and a church there in the midst of that, and begin to have people to be saved, and God began to change and do things in their lives. And he said, well, can you give me a great, why is your church so different? He said, well, when we meet together and we have a need and we pray, he said, those people really pray because they really believe God's going to meet that need. Do we really believe that God is going to meet the need that we have? Do we just mouth some words to the Lord? Do we just kindly give it a casual thing? Or do we really pour out our soul and our heart unto God? Heard about a preacher out in Texas. They were undergoing a severe drought, and all the crops and cattle were in danger of dying, and they needed rain awful bad. So they decided they'd have a prayer meeting down at the church and pray that God would send rain. The old preacher came in, toting his umbrella, wearing his rubber boots. Do we really believe God can work in our lives this morning? We really must believe. We must really believe that God is the God of impossibilities, that He can do for us what no one else can do. We must put our faith in Him. Do we really do that this morning? Do we really believe that He is the God of the impossible situations? And then we have to allow God to come into our problem, to come in to us this morning. A little boy was out in the yard and he was trying to move a big boulder. Doing everything he can. He would push it with his shoulder. He would back up and take a run and go. He would get and stand there and just push as hard as he could. He went and got him a piece of pipe to use as a lever, and he was trying to move this big boulder. And he'd walk around it and look, and then he'd go back and he'd fight it some more. All the time his dad was watching from the window. And as he's watching the little boy, and finally the little boy just went over and sat down exhausted, just sweaty. And he walked up and his dad said, well, have you done everything you can? The little boy said, I've done everything I can, Daddy. He said, no, you ain't. Well, what do I like? He said, why don't you ask me to help you? You ever think about how much we do? How many times we push the rock? How many times we analyze the situation? How many times we, this morning, get the lever? We take the run and go? And we're still sitting there perspiring and sweaty and tired and disgusted. And the rock's still there. Sometimes we got to invite God in to help us, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Allow the Lord to come in this morning and work with us. So many times we want to do it on our own. We're like the little children. You know, you watch little children. You want me to help you? I can do it myself. Huh? No. I don't want you to help. Sometimes we're like that with the Lord, aren't we? We have to allow God into our problems, into our lives, and into the things that are causing us problems today. I'm convinced that many problems could be solved if God were just allowed to come in. We live in a world filled with problems. I'm telling you, sometimes I look around and I think, boy, what a mess we're in. Honestly. A lady that used to live behind me before the tornado, after her husband died, she decided she wanted to remodel her house, and she called one of her nephews who was a contractor, and he told her, he said, Aunt Sadella, this house is in so bad a shape, I can build you a new one cheaper than I can fix this one. Sometimes I look around and I think, well, this world's in such a mess, I don't know if anybody could fix it. But you know, of every problem we see in this world, of every problem that we could sit here and name this morning, if we could allow God to come into that problem, He could take care of it this morning. I think that's where our real problem really comes, is we don't want to let the Lord come in and take care of our problems. I mean, man, I get so burdened sometimes. I see all of these things facing us, and people are searching for legislation and searching for this and searching for that, and I'm thinking, why don't we just let God come in and take care of this problem? Huh? Why don't we allow the Lord to come in and do what He can do? But we want to kick God out most of the time. I mean, you look around, everything that you see could probably be solved by the Lord. Pastor's wife wrote another pastor a letter and told her about how her husband had a habit of lying, and he'd been caught in many lies, and how that no one would trust him anymore. How his children were embarrassed and ashamed of him, and she closed out the letter by saying, "I may have to leave and divorce him." The pastor said, "I wish that after all of that, she could have simply said, 'I still believe I serve a God who can take care of this problem.'" We need to allow God to come in and take care of the problems we have in our life. Somebody says, "Well, now, wait a minute. You don't know my problem. You don't know my problem." Well, I'm going to be like G. Campbell Morgan, preacher of yesteryear. The lady came to him and she says, "Do you think God really hears about our big problems?" And he looked at her and he said, "Lady, no disrespect meant, but do you think any of your problems is too big for God? You think any problem you could come up with today would be too big for God?" I mean, do you? There's no problem too big for God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. But then we have to do what he declares. See, sometimes we can get this far, but are we really willing to do what the Lord declares? I said I've been reading through the Gospel of John, and when you get to John chapter 5, there's a story that always intrigues me. Many things about it I don't really understand, but when Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda and found a man that had been there 38 years, and he says in verse 8 of John chapter 5, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." You see, he asked him, "Do you want to be made whole?" Okay, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Fellow probably standing by and said, "Man, that's a hard thing to tell that paralyzed man." Here he is. He has nobody to help him up. He has no way to do what you said do, Jesus. That's a hard thing to say. But you see, Jesus knew what he was doing. He said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Are you willing to do what the Lord says do? That's the question we have to answer. We can believe and we can allow God, but then when the Lord tells us to do something, are we willing to do that? You see, Jesus said to this man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." You think about salvation this morning. How's a man saved? By faith, through grace, unto good works. This man received his healing by faith through the grace of God this morning. And he was willing to do what the Lord said do. He put his faith in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. You know, I see some of these sporting events, and sometimes they'll have a limited number of tickets they're going to put on sale, and people will carry their sleeping bags and their little chairs and their thermoses and their sandwiches, and they'll get in line and they'll stay there for a long period of time to be able to purchase a ticket to this particular event. Don't want to miss this event, so they're in that line, enduring all the hardships. Well, suppose somebody's in that line. At about that time, a fellow drives up in a truck and looks over and he sees him. He said, "Hey, man." He said, "Come on over here." He said, "I got two extra tickets and you don't have to stay in that line. And you just come and you can go with me." What's the fellow going to do? What's he going to do? No, you ain't got no tickets. I'm just going to stay in this line and sit out here in the rain and the cold and the hungry. He said, man, he'd be a fool. Amen. What's he going to do? If he really believes that that's his friend and he's got those two tickets, he's going to gather his stuff up and head on out. But that's what Jesus is really saying to us. Hey, quit trying for on your own. Just come to me. Just come to me. But too many people decide, hey, Jesus can't do that. That's not the way it works. I'm just going to stay in the line. When Jesus is saying, hey, put your faith and trust in me and I'll take care of it. He's the God of the impossibilities this morning. Are we willing to do what he says and put our faith and our trust in him? And you read through the scriptures this morning and you find how God did all kinds of impossible things. He brought an impossible revival to the city of Nineveh. Everybody would have said, hey, well, what a wicked city, but God brought a revival there. He brought old hardened sinners to the Lord. He worked in all kinds of situations today, and he's still the God of impossibilities. You have an impossible situation in your life. Many people have an impossible situation because the only way they'll get to heaven today is through Jesus, through the forgiveness of their sins and the Son of God. He's there for you. You have any other situations in your life and problems that you just need to say, hey, Lord, I believe you can take care of it. I'm going to allow you to come in and I'm going to do whatever you say do. That's what has to be done in our lives today for the God of impossibilities to work for us. All right, you'll stand together with me, Brother Lucy and Barbara. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, that you use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. For all that you say and do, we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.